Welcome to Sunrise, the radio outreach of Calvary Christian Fellowship of Tucson, Arizona. Join us for the next half hour as we take a personal and up-close look at the Word of God with Pastor Scott Richards. Join us now as our teacher continues his study. Here's Pastor Scott.
You could turn in your Bibles to the book of Nehemiah chapter 11. And while you're turning there, let's begin our time tonight by wrestling with a bit of a question. What, in your opinion, is the most effective way to truly be used by God in this world? You know, there's a lot of different theories about all of that, but the bottom line is if we can live a life worth emulating in terms of our own walk with God, I think then we're really going to be getting somewhere in terms of living lives of lasting impact. If we can be people that model what a living relationship with God is all about, boy, powerful things can certainly happen. In the book of Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 7, we are told, "Remember those who rule over you, who have spoken the word of God to you, whose faith follow, considering the outcome of their conduct." Now, notice what this passage is telling us here. What it's saying is this: there's a lot of ways that we can communicate the truth of God in this life. You can do it verbally, and there is certainly power in speaking God's word. You can even do it visually, you know, acting things out. That certainly can fill in a lot of the blanks. But oh, when you do it personally and practically, when we don't fall into the trap of don't do as I do as I say, but follow my example, as Paul said, as I follow Christ, boy, that is when the Lord can use us in some amazing and lasting and powerful and significant ways. You know, we don't want to be people who draw a blank when someone says to us about our walk with God, "Don't tell me, show me." So what does it mean to have that kind of walk with God? Well, interestingly, in the book of Nehemiah chapter 11, you know, oftentimes when we read about the people of Israel, when we see the accounts of the people of God, even in the New Testament, oftentimes the accounts that we see are cautionary tales. We find ourselves in a place where we're going, "Oh man, I don't want to fall into that trap. I don't want to make that same mistake." But for the next few minutes tonight, we're actually going to be focusing in on a time in Israel's history, believe it or not, when they got it right, when they were really hitting on all cylinders. And so if we want to hit on all cylinders in our walk with God, we want to live a life of lasting impact for the glory of Jesus, boy, there are some wonderful things we'll pick up here in Nehemiah chapter 11 that we can apply to our lives and have the Lord use us in ways that are going to be a blessing, not just for time, but also for eternity. So let's pray and commit this time to the Lord tonight. Father, as we come before you, we don't want to just live out our time on this world and have it be done with. Lord, you've put us here for a reason. You've called us with a holy calling. Before you even said, "Let there be light in the creation," you knew we would be a part of things here on earth. And I thank you, Lord, that you had planned out, even before we were a twinkle in our mama's eye, the role that we are to play for your glory. Teach us, Lord, how to assume that role, how to be more tuned in, sensitive to the leading and guiding of your Spirit, committed to the principles we find in your word that can allow us to be people that not only share you with our lips, but share you with our lives. Oh God, thank you for this amazing blessing. Guide us into your truth now, and even allow the backdrop of maybe what's happened to our lives during the week to cause your word just to be framed beautifully and more clearly within our hearts and our lives. Make us more usable for your glory, we ask, as a result of this time. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, if you're with us on Sunday, you know that the people of Israel, the book of Nehemiah, it's all about the rebuilding of the wall of Jerusalem. Well, the wall's been rebuilt. It is up and standing. God has done an amazing miracle. Jerusalem, believe it or not, is now fit for habitation. Instead of being a place where those who live there eked on by and scraped by to make a living, only to find themselves victims of all kinds of people in all kinds of oppressive ways, now it was actually a proper place to live. But the problem was, for almost 100 years, Jerusalem was scarcely inhabited because it was the wrong side of the tracks, because it was a place that nobody would want to live, because it was really a dangerous place to call home. But now all that's changed. But you and I both know that we are creatures of habit, and even though God does a new work, sometimes we have a hard time entering into it. And so if you're with us on Sunday morning, we talked a little bit about how God moved upon the hearts of his people to deal with this problem. Yeah, the blessing was there for the taking, but where were the takers? Well, in Nehemiah chapter 11 and verse 1, we are told, now the leaders of the people dwelt at Jerusalem. You know, I love that because the leaders of the people led, believe it or not. You know, sometimes people will say, well, how do I become a leader in the church? Well, follow the Lord. You know, live a consistent Christian life and then look over your shoulder and see if anybody else is following, right? The definition of a leader is someone that has followers. And I guarantee you, if you get serious about each and every morning asking the Lord to fill you with the Holy Spirit, to live his life out through you, you find yourself praying prayers like, God, what are you up to today? I want to be a part of it. You find yourself in a place where you're like, you know, Lord, I just don't want to go through another day, doing things on my checkoff list and just trying to survive. I want to thrive. I want to know you better at the end of this day than I did at the beginning. I guarantee you have that kind of a walk with God, it's going to get to be contagious. And pretty soon people are going to be saying things like, what's so different about you? Or wow, you know, you really seem to be growing in your walk with the Lord. How can I grow like that as well? That's what real leadership is all about. It's about taking the initiative. And boy, sometimes that's one of the biggest challenges we face in the Christian life. We all agree that following Jesus sounds like a good thing in theory. We're just waiting for someone to go first. And so oftentimes, instead of going first and taking the initiative, we fold our arms and look around and we're like waiting. And sometimes, if we're not real careful, that can create a real sense of bitterness and spiritual stagnation in our lives. Well, one of the real warning signs that we are probably not where we need to be in our walk with God is if instead of being born-again Christians, we find ourselves being born-again critics. We find ourselves looking around and saying, well, this is wrong about the church, and that's wrong about the church. And if God's people were more serious about this and that and the other, boy, I'll tell you, I get so bored with individuals who've appointed themselves to be those that point out all the faults and the flaws. The people that I'm excited to be around aren't people that just look the other way or pretend they're not problems, but rather people who say, you know what, I'm going to practically do something about it. Jerusalem needed people to live within its walls. The real leaders in Israel were the ones who said, all right, this is what God's up to. We want to be knee-deep in the middle of it. You know, it's been said that half of being used by God is simply showing up. The other half is having a great attitude when you show up. But sometimes just taking that initiative, sometimes just being there. And you know, we think about, oh, well, moving into Jerusalem, that doesn't sound like that big of a challenge. Well, remember something. This has been a city that's been basically uninhabited for well over 170 years. Now, I don't know if you've ever been around a place that hasn't been kept up for 170 days. It can be a little rough. You know, back a number of years ago, I had the opportunity to lead a team on a short-term missions trip over a summer in the West Indies. And we got in late on this trip, myself and my high school group from Southern California. And because of that, all of the regular places where the missionaries would stay were already taken up. And so we really didn't have a place. And they said, well, we can scramble and put something together. Oh, yeah, we found you a place. It's not really in the places you usually stay, but it'll work out. Well, bottom line is we ended up living in a community called Upper Love in a government housing project in an apartment that hadn't been lived in for 6 months. Well, I shouldn't say lived in. I should say lived in by human beings for 6 months. Because there were all kinds of Caribbean critters that had moved in there, including these roaches they had there. They call them mahogany birds because they're about a little bit bigger than a hummingbird. And if you don't get them on the first stomp, they'll fly right up in your face. We lived there. And, you know, at first we were like, oh, my gosh, you know, this is pretty challenging stuff. But God really had a plan for all of that. The fact that we were living in the middle of this government housing project, and instead of the usual short-term missionary thing of living in one of the resort parts of this island and then kind of busing in and then leaving at the end of the day, we just lived there. You know, we lived there. And at first, the people that lived in the government projects there were looking at us like, well, what are you people doing here? People just don't do this. Well, it's fine. And, you know, we got to know the kids, and we got to, you know, put together some vacation Bible schools for the little ones and play ball with the older kids. And before too long, people really started to accept us. They started inviting us over for dinner. They'd knock on the door and they'd say, could you come over and tell us about Jesus tonight? And it was just amazing. And I'm convinced that one of the reasons that God moved in such a powerful way, and we had the opportunity to lead so many people to Christ during that time, was simply because we were there, simply because we showed up. You know, the same thing's true in your life and my life. I know you live in a certain place, but can I ask you a question? Do you really show up for the glory of God? Do you really show up with the idea that the Lord has you here for a purpose and a reason, that he is dying to give you a divine appointment or two where you can make a difference in the life of someone else? Not waiting for other people to get their act together and minister to you, but saying, you know what? In this world, there are so many Christians out there that just aren't interested in applying God's word. Lord, by your grace, I'm not going to be one of them. Lord, there's so many people out there that can be cold and aloof and indifferent towards people in church. By your grace, Lord, I'm not going to be one of them. You know, there's so many people out there that never share their faith with a non-believer. They just hang out in the holy huddle. Lord, by your grace, I'm not going to be one of them. That is what the Bible calls a leader. It's someone that is flat out in love with Jesus and allows other people to, in a sense, warm themselves in the afterglow. So, you know, we see this with the people of Israel. The leaders led. They didn't just say, oh, well, we're leaders. We can't possibly be bothered to be in an uncomfortable place. Remember something. The ultimate leader, our Lord Jesus Christ. How did he fully demonstrate his love to his disciples? He washed their feet. He took the lowest place, not the highest place. He took the place of greatest, dare I say, grunt work service the world has ever seen. Rather than saying, oh, well, you know, I'm so great and glorious, people should be waiting on me. Jesus demonstrated the full extent of his love when he laid down his life for you and me as a sacrifice. That's what leadership is all about. Do people see you laying down your life for others with the love of Jesus Christ? Well, that was this beautiful initiative we saw here. And when we discover something else, there was not only this beautiful initiative that was happening among the people of God, there was also this emotional investment that was taking place. It says, the rest of the people cast lots to bring 1 out of 10 to dwell into Jerusalem, the holy city, and 9/10 were to dwell in the other cities. And the people blessed all the men who willingly offered themselves to dwell at Jerusalem. Now notice, there was a lottery that took place. 1 out of 10 had to move from their comfy, cozy, well-worked-out routines and live in Jerusalem. 1 out of 10. I'm sure that's a lottery that most people weren't really excited about winning at that particular time. But the other people blessed the Lord. And notice something else. The people willingly went. Why? Well, we talked a little bit about how they discerned God's will back during that time, how casting lots, according to Proverbs chapter 16 and verse 33, was a way that God would reveal his will to his people. And if a person says, all right, if God wants me there, I'm going to be there. You know, in our day and age, we have the leading and ministry of the Holy Spirit. We have the totality of God's word. We don't have to flip coins, if you will, to discern what God's will is. As a matter of fact, the vast majority of God's will for your life and mine has already been revealed in His Word, the Bible. This is God's GPS, His basic instructions before leaving earth. So as we have this and as we apply this to our lives, we can know and we can be guided and directed. But in this set of circumstances, these individuals were not only, in a sense, called out by God through this lottery system, but notice that God's will was confirmed in their life in an interesting way. The people blessed all the men who willingly offered themselves to dwell at Jerusalem. This is the second important piece of the puzzle if we want to have a life that really makes an impact for God. A willingness to be used. Dare I say, a passion to be a part of what God is up to. You know, I don't know about you, but if, you know, say I was in a situation where I needed some work done at the house and I needed someone to lend me a hand. You know, which kind of person would you want to have as part of the process? Someone you ask, you go, hey, you know, I've got this. I've got some heavy lifting, some rocks to move, or, you know, some pretty heavy stuff. I'm moving, and I've got one of those fold-out couches upstairs. I'm going to need somebody to help me out with all of that. Who do you want to have help you? A person, A, who looks at you and rolls their eyes and goes, really? Oh, man, I hate those fold-out couches. And, oh, you know, my back and this and that. And all right, I guess you can't find anybody else. I'll do it. That's person A. Or person B. Oh, man, you know what? It'll be great. We'll have an opportunity to hang out together. Man, we can spend some good time. Afterwards, we can go get something to eat. And it'll be, you know, really a fun way to, you know, do that. And I'm glad I can help you out. Boy, I'll take person B 6 days a week and twice on Sunday, wouldn't you? But what about our service to God? When it comes time to being used by the Lord, you know, you hear the traditional announcement. Comes during announcements. Announcements, what an odd part of a church service, right? You know, wherever I've gone in Christian circles, I've always been asked to do announcements. And I've discovered something about announcements, no offense, but I've discovered the only people who listen to announcements are people who want something announced. Everybody else is kind of like, okay, when are we going to get on with the actual part of the church service? But you know, I've always been asked to do announcements. And one of the traditional announcements that really causes people to go, oh, gosh, can't we get on with the service, is when someone says something to the effect of, you know, we got a real need in the children's ministry. Oh, boy, you know, I'm just not called to that sort of thing. And here is a great opportunity to be able to be used by God. And sometimes the greatest opportunities to be used by God are particularly those areas to be used by God that get us out of our comfort zones. Well, that's exactly what was going on here. These people were being moved out of their comfort zones, but notice the people blessed them. They thought, man, these guys are right on. Why? Because they did it willingly. Nobody had to twist their arm. No one had to guilt trip them into serving and going and dwelling in Jerusalem. They willingly offered themselves to serve the Lord. And you know, that willingness, that passion to serve, I think is such a powerful commodity in our walk with God. It was certainly a quality that the Apostle Paul was known for in his ministry. In the letter that he wrote to the church at Thessalonica, 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, listen to how Paul reminded the Thessalonians about the attitude, the emotional investment that he brought to the church. In verse 10, it says, you are witnesses in God also, how devoutly and justly and blamelessly we behaved ourselves among you who believe, as you know how we exhorted and comforted and charged every one of you as a father does his own children, that you should walk worthy of God who calls you into his own kingdom and glory. Notice the overflowing family relationship that's being communicated there. Yeah, we loved you like you're our kids, Paul said. We exhorted you like a father. You know, we comforted and charged every one of you like a father with his children. You know, we were people that didn't fall into the trap of don't do as I do as I say. We invested ourselves emotionally in you. Well, you can't fake that, can you? You can't fake that kind of passion in terms of service to the Lord. One of the most beautiful ways to make an impact in the lives of others is simply passionately caring about the welfare of others. passionately caring enough to set aside what might be convenient for you in a particular set of circumstances, and reach out to other people. You know, once again, it's one of those you go first kind of situations. I guarantee you, if you want to get bitter and bummed out in a church, sit around and wait around for other people to notice you. Sit around and wait for other people to extend love to you. Sit around and wait for other people to pray with you. You know, every once in a while, I'll go on a vacation, I'll be at a new place, and we'll go to a church, and it's always an interesting experience for me because, obviously, people know who I am in this church, and, you know, you're kind of on and so forth, but it's nice just to kind of be undercover, if you will. You know, you've seen those programs like Undercover Boss, you know, where the CEO of a company shows up and nobody knows it's the CEO, you know, or you know, one of those secret shopper programs, you know, where a person comes in and you know, they're just, you know, sent by the company to find out how the customer service is going. You know, when I go to another church, I always feel like a secret shopper, you know, because nobody knows who I am and I just kind of sit in the back and all that stuff. And sometimes I'll do that experiment where I just go, well, let's see how friendly this church is. I wonder if anybody's going to come up and say hi. That usually lasts for me about like 2 or 3 minutes, and finally I can't stand it anymore. And now I just start glad-handing people. Hey, how's it going? You know, I'm visiting here from Arizona, just checking things out. How are you? No, don't say I'm a pastor at another church or something like that. But it's so funny. When you open up and you take the initiative and you're friendly to other people, there's kind of this whoa kind of effect that some people have. You know, well, I don't really know you. You're not part of my clique, and you're being friendly towards me. Yeah, you know. How long you known the Lord, man? That's great. Oh, known the Lord. Oh, my gosh, you know. I love sort of upsetting the apple cart like that. Can I challenge you to something? You know, you want God to use you? Be an apple cart upsetter. Not in a negative way, but decide that you're going to be passionately in love with the Lord and allow that passionate love to overflow your life and touch somebody. Make it your business that you're not going to be satisfied being in church till you leave here with the knowledge that you've encouraged just one other person. You know, the funny thing is when you decide you're going to do that yourself, isn't it amazing how oftentimes your need gets met?
Scott Richards of Calvary Christian Fellowship of Tucson. Be sure to join us again at this same time as we continue our journey through the entire Bible here on Sunrise. We'd also like to extend an invitation for you to join us for worship and the study of God's Word. Calvary Christian Fellowship is located on the northwest side of Tucson. Just go one block west of Interstate 10 on Prince Road and then 2 blocks north. Service times are 9 and 11 a.m. on Sundays. Our midweek Oasis service gets underway every Wednesday at 6:30 p.m. Our video extension campus meets in Oro Valley every Sunday at 9:30 a.m. at the Lehman Academy. To join us, go one block north of Tangerine on La Cañada Road. To personally connect with us or to order an audio copy of what you heard on today's broadcast, visit our website at calvarychristianfellowship.com. That's calvarychristianfellowship.com. If you have questions concerning Calvary Christian Fellowship, the Bible, prophecy, or personal issues in your walk with God, be sure to join Pastor Scott live on this station for A Reason for Hope every Monday through Friday at 5 p.m. Mountain Standard Time. Well, thanks again for joining us, and be sure to be listening at the same time for more of Sunrise with Scott Richards.